Campaign 2026.
This is where the fun begins.
Every step, every day.
If you're talking about it, we're talking about it.
On News Radio 92.3. Informative. Informative. Local. Dependable.
Also going to be language in there as of now, language proposed in there on what the potential ramifications and consequences are of the parents. And again, downtown is not your babysitter. Our city is not your babysitter.
Oh, man, I kind of love that line. Downtown is not your babysitter. Our city is not your babysitter. You are responsible for your minor-aged children. That was D.C. Reeves yesterday, the mayor, talking about the proposed kind of rough sketches of what a curfew might look like when they finally bring the ordinance before city council for them to talk about it, what it would mean. 17 and under can't be out after 11 on the weeknights, after midnight on the weekends. And, you know, they're not trying to get kids in trouble who are just going home from work or a friend's house or something like that. But, you know, the idea is to try to get a grip on this issue. Joining us now, we have Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Hey, Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So I wanted to talk to you, you know, how much have you guys been involved from, like, the what it would really mean perspective in crafting this potential curfew ordinance?
Well, the chief has been contacted. He's discussed it with the staff and to make sure, you know, how we're going to do this to make sure it's not going to be a burden on manpower. And it's actually not. It's going to help us. It's going to give us some more teeth in order to get these kids off the street and back in the house where they belong that late at night. And I think it's a good thing. And, you know, everybody, if you look at comments online, the police, they didn't have enough officers. They've got to do something. And that's exactly what we're doing between us and the city of Pensacola is we're looking for ways to keep things like what happened on July 5th from happening again, because July 4th is going to roll around again, and we're already discussing plans for what we're going to do there. So having this curfew is something that it falls in the category of what are you guys going to do about this, and we'll see how it goes. It's worked well in other cities, and what you were discussing earlier about should it be citywide or not, I don't know how you can't do it without going citywide, because if we have a problem downtown, that's one thing, but what if it moves up to the mall? What if it moves to a movie theater? We still have to be able to use that curfew.
Yeah, and I figured partially from discrimination, basically. I want to make, you know, which doesn't necessarily mean race or anything like that, but just how do you pick that it's this region and not that region would be challenging from a legal point of view. But from an enforcement point of view, like you said, well, okay, so we have some, you know, kid misbehavior going on with some flash event downtown. Okay, but what if they, you know, they read the law and they're like, well, let's just do it over here. You know, well, what do we do then? Well, you know, that's why you make it citywide. You mentioned other places. Did you guys look at other cities and kind of study what had worked or not worked there?
I haven't been part of the discussion, but I'm sure that's part of it, because you have to look at not only did it work or not, but look at the legality of it. Right. So I'm sure that's a part of the discussion.
And what I heard the mayor say and what I particularly am hearing you say, and this kind of goes with the question that a lot of people are, I mean, it's a question I had, which is, oh, great. You know, we're going to have a brand new law for PPD to be out searching for all the time when they're on patrol. You know, do we have enough people to go out and actually pursue this? And the answer is, you know, no, not if we're trying to make this a primary offense and we're looking for all the 17-year-olds who are out at 11:15 at night. But if it's used as a tool when necessary because there's a disruption or bad behavior or in conjunction with something else, then of course you have it. In fact, then it enhances your ability to actually solve the problem. Am I reading this right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. What we're quote targeting here, they make themselves known easily. They're causing trouble. There are issues. It's not the one that's quiet, that's not doing anything wrong, because we simply don't see those. And it's the ones that are making themselves known that quickly get the attention of law enforcement.
I was thinking about the curfew that currently exists under state statute for driving, which I didn't even know until this came about, but it's worth knowing. And I assume it's the same thing there. It's not like y'all are out patrolling and every time you pass a car, you look in and make sure it's not a 16-year-old. But instead, if somebody is involved, you know, they're driving and they commit some kind of a violation, they might also get a curfew violation in addition to it because they're too young. Am I, again, I don't want to misinterpret, but is that basically how it works right now?
That's exactly how it works.
Okay, perfect. So you guys are on board. You think this is functional? This will actually enhance your ability to do it. And again, this is and the parent part too. I don't know what the shape of that. He didn't really say the shape of it, but I assume, again, correct me if I'm wrong, I assume that when officers heard that there might be an element of taking the problem to the parents, there was a bit of a hallelujah about that.
Yeah, there is. And parents need to be parents. And you hear this all the time. And I'll tell you, somebody else besides law enforcement you can ask are teachers. You know, teachers are expected to babysit the kids and raise the kids sometimes, and that's just not going to work. So anything that we can do or any laws or ordinances that we can do to help us to do that is what we're going to do use. But we certainly would like parents to step in a little bit more and know where their 17-year-old teenagers and under are around midnight.
Absolutely.
That's not asking too much.
No, not even. And in fact, I've had several people text me in and say, I don't know, 11 or midnight sounds too late. Like 9 is a good plan. 10 is a good plan. You know, what does a 16-year-old need to be out at 9:45 for on a school night? And the answer is, well, I don't know. Maybe that's a good question. We're talking to Mike Wood, the public information officer for PPD. Hang on for just a second. Mike Candy has traffic on the fives.
Hey, Mike. Good to see you. Good to talk to you.
You too, Candy.
Hey, we love you. 29 and 95A showing an accident this morning, but no road lock. And then 9 Mile Road, it looks like just on the other side of 29, showing a hit-and-run crash. And I'm not showing any slowdowns yet. If you see an accident or a slowdown, let us know at 437-1620. You can text it in. It's Candy with traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, yeah. Candy. Back to Mike Wood with Pensacola Police Department. You guys have made what you say is your, fourth? One, two, three. I got to think about it in my head. Fourth and final arrest in connection with the July 5th incident. But this person is what happened here? Was this like they shot their friend, so the friend doesn't want to say anything about it? What's going on here?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So, you know, there's been a little pushback of why didn't, you know, this is a serious crime, and it absolutely is. And this individual is being charged with two serious felonies for firing that weapon. But when he struck his friend in, I believe it was a finger. So we have to look at the totality, and the friend absolutely said, I do not want to be involved. I don't want any charge, and in fact signed paperwork, what's called a null pros, who signed paperwork that says, I do not want this person charged with this crime. So, yeah, of course, that can be we can override that. The state attorney's office can do that as well. But you look at the totality of the circumstances in each individual case, and we decided it's best to just charge him with the gun crimes, the other two gun crimes in this situation.
This is sort of a did you know ahead of time or is it true, you know, cop myth kind of thing. But how does that work? I know we've talked about it before, but I've forgotten. How does it work with the relevance of a person saying, I do or do not want to prosecute charges on a crime? Is it felony, misdemeanor? Is it something else? How does that work?
Well, again, they knew each other. They were friends. It was a round that struck a finger. But if he had been shot in the chest or something like that, then that's probably something that's going to be prosecuted anyway. You know, if I'm at home and my son is playing with a gun and shoots me, I want to be able to say, look, this is something that I don't want to prosecute. You know, if he was cleaning the gun or something like that, but if there was criminal intent involved, if he intended to shoot me or if that person intended to shoot his or her friend, yeah. That's a little bit different. So we have to look at each of these cases. And, of course, again, this is something we usually will speak with the state's attorney's office with first, and they can always come in and upgrade that charge if they feel like that's what needs to be done.
You know, I know it's not exactly the same, but it reminds me of when my kids were younger and we pretty much let them play around, and like we'd go to the store and they'd be climbing on the grocery cart, and every once in a while an employee, some busybody Karen, would be like, no, you gotta get, you know, you can't have those kids. And I'm like, why? Like, well, they could fall and then you could sue us. I'm like, I will wear a shirt that says I promise not to sue. You know, I will, yeah. I will promise in advance. But they never cared about that perspective. Let's see. So we're done. The investigation is done. The arrests are done. Everybody that you think was connected with this incident has either taken their own life or been arrested. Is that right? Or not charged?
Yeah, that's exactly right. But if you look at how many rounds were fired, how many people were down there, and when this happened, look, and I've got to, you know, they're the Pensacola Police Department investigators. I'm the spokesman for PPD, but hey, I've got to see it anyway. Look how fast they were able to bring this case to a close. That is 110% dedication on every single detective and supervisor and patrol officers that were involved in that night. And they didn't let go of this. It was a 24-hour investigation. So hats off to them for doing a really good job on this case.
And by the way, the person from that you were looking for, the person of interest, that's a person you found, or that was this person, but that's resolved too now?
Yes, that is. That was Marley.
Okay, that was this person. All right, very good. Hey, yes. last question on this, just because it kind of stymied me a little bit when you told me about this last week, and I still don't know that I have clarity. Do we have any clarity about how the person who took his own life at Oakwood Terrace when you guys were there to serve the warrant, and then he let the mom and his girlfriend or whatever and the kid go, but had fired multiple shots? That was one of those, I don't understand how somebody fires multiple gunshots in the act of suicide, but do we know any? I mean, I know you weren't in the room or anything like that, but do we have any clarity about that?
No, we don't. And, you know, this could happen several ways. If a person is simply not going to prison and is prepared to die, they could shoot at police to make us fire back. That did not happen. They could fire shots in order to get the courage to see what the gun's going to feel like and sound like. They may have tried to fire a shot and the gun jammed and they're clearing it. They fire a couple more shots to make sure it's working. There's a number of reasons why that could have happened, but I don't believe we'll ever know exactly why.
Okay, fair enough. It just, like I said, it was kind of an odd detail. I'd never heard of that, any of that before, and that's why I wanted to talk about it a little bit. You guys had an incident overnight, an apprehension, a water apprehension?
Yeah, this started up at Baptist Hospital as a hit-and-run complaint. While the officers were on scene, the suspect vehicle was located, and they fled upon sight of law enforcement, which, you know, we've seen before. Pursuit was initiated and immediately canceled because of the excessive speeds as they traveled eastbound. They went onto Bayou Boulevard into the city. Officers went to that area looking for the vehicle and saw it again. This time it fled from them southbound, and I believe it was on 9th Avenue. Officers did not see that vehicle after it crossed Cervantes, until they found it in the bay, and the two occupants inside got out and attempted to swim away. But when you put the duck feet booties on the canines, they're going to be pretty fast in that water. I just made that part up.
But I'm like, you got flippers for the canines. That's cool.
No, yeah, I made that part up. But anyway, they were, right after they entered the bay in an attempt to swim away, they were quickly apprehended by our patrol officers.
Okay, so if they were going on 9th Avenue, that means they must have crossed, you know, Chase and Gregory and crossed Bayfront and gone right over into the bay. I mean, there's stop signs in that area, pedestrians in that area potentially. That's really dangerous. Thank God nobody was hurt. Do I have it right geographically?
Yes. I believe I haven't. The information that I have is limited at this point because I just got the information, but I believe that would be 9th Avenue. I don't know that 100%, but it makes sense if they're going southbound, and once they cross Cervantes, it makes sense that they continue southbound on 9th Avenue and ended up in the pond.
Okay, again, only because my brain works this way. Your guys are faster than their guys. I get that, but your guys wear a lot of gear and their utility belt and their vest, and it's weighty, and, you know, they got shoes on. I mean, what's the practical? What does this look like practically? Do they just jump in with all that stuff on, or do they take a minute and prepare and gear down basically in order to? I mean, what happens?
Well, they'll take the outer carrier off. They'll just take it and they'll say, "Here, hold my vest."
Okay.
And then go in and do what they need to do.
Okay.
And other times, and it could be that they just shouted at them and told them, because it's kind of shallow right there. Shouted at them and told them to come on out of the water too. That's also the possibility.
In any case, the perpetrators, suspects tried to flee via water, and PPD did not allow that to happen.
Yeah, all this over a hit and run just would have been a ticket.
Yeah, it would have been simple enough. Okay, very good. I know this is sort of a, like, happened in another place, but I'm curious if you have a comment, and feel free to pass. I know there's some things you don't really talk about, but the whole business with this Vietnam veteran Cubs fan who smacked the kid who wasn't standing for the national anthem aside the head, not hard, it was kind of a get-attention smack. And my perspective on this, and they, by the way, they reconciled, the kid bought him a beer, and even when security tried to throw him out, the kid told him, no, it's all cool. And the guy has apologized too, saying he let the emotions get the better of him. In my world, I recognize legally that that's a battery, it's an unwanted touching, okay? But I also recognize that the world is a better place when, you know, dumb young kids get smacked once in a while, especially boys, because they need it from their parents, from other men in the community. If this was happening to my kid and some guy smacked him and made him stand up for the anthem, I'd be like, I'd buy him a beer, you know, like, good work. Police perspective on this?
Yeah, like you just said, it is a battery, but I think a huge lesson was learned here, and I'll bet you that kid stands from now on. I believe, you know, my children, if they messed up, they got the hand to the rear end, and I believe in that. I'm old school. But I believe that the mission was accomplished, and I believe that that child, looking at that video and with what you mentioned happened afterwards, I believe he learned a valuable lesson.
Even though we'd all have to say it is his right to sit if he wants to, and it, under the Constitution and the First Amendment, that guy went to war to protect. I mean, you know, all of that can be true, right?
Yeah, it's still a battery, but all of that can be true.
You always like to end, or we always like to end with a did you know. We kind of have almost done two, but did you have one for me today?
Yeah, if anybody's interested, maybe nobody is, but other cops sure are, of the words that are most misspelled by police, and thank goodness you don't have to, the computers correct this now, but back when I was doing reports, you had white out, the sergeant would white it out, and then if I dropped that report again, it would shatter because of misspelled words. But now, just in case anybody's wondering, and police officers have to spell them all the time and still get it wrong, but it's methamphetamine, subpoena, barbiturate, surveillance, paraphernalia, and lieutenant.
Oh, paraphernalia is a hard one with that extra R in there. That's true. And lieutenant, subpoena. Yeah, those are all right. I don't blame anybody for misspelling any of those words. Lieutenant's kind of funny, and I could imagine, not that I would say any cops are like this, but they might deliberately misspell this one when they know the lieutenant is going to read it.
Yeah, they could just put sergeant in there. It's a little bit easier to spell. And sometimes that one's tough.
Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you for the time, the information. And as always, please, every time you see your officers, please tell them how much we appreciate the work they do, keeping us safe. We'll talk to you again next week.
Well, I'll let them know. Bye, Candy.
Bye, I love you.
7:55 on News Radio 92.3.